Chapter 3. Self-Development. The gravity of the Army mission and the world's dynamic nature make continual learning and self-development crucial to personal success and national security. Rapid changes in geopolitical affairs, technology, and general knowledge require individuals to stay current. Army and civilian schools provide basic knowledge and techniques individuals need to review and update after they leave school. To thrive professionally and personally, individuals must engage in lifelong learning and self-development. Self-development bridges gaps between the operational and institutional domains and sets conditions for continual learning and growth. Soldiers and DA civilians engage in self-development to improve their capabilities for current and future positions. Self-knowledge is an important part of a leader's development. The Army provides tools to facilitate leaders' understanding of strengths and developmental needs throughout a military career. See websites within references. Institutional and operational training assignments cannot meet all learning needs. Self-development is essential to attain and sustain the competencies needed to perform successfully. Self-development activities reinforce and expand the depth and breadth of what leaders learn in classrooms and on duty. Self-development activities enable achieving personal and professional development goals. Self-development obtains the best results when it is planned, competency-based, and goal-oriented. However, an important aspect of self-development is distinct from the other training domains. You are responsible for directing personal self-development activities, not your supervisor or the Army. Although engaging in self-development is a personal responsibility, leaders are responsible for creating an environment in which self-development is a priority. Leaders need to be actively involved in developing themselves and each other. Self-development begins with feedback. Development happens through study and practice. Leaders can support others' self-development through the exchange of professional development information, discoveries, and opinions. As owners of their career and self-development, leaders are ultimately responsible for managing it. For example, you are the only one who can assess your current career status, knowledge and skills, personal interests, and accomplishments. Do you have the technical and tactical expertise you need? Do you have the leadership skills you need? Honestly determine your willingness to invest the time, effort, and mobility needed to advance. Seek information about duty options, development paths, and training opportunities. Set your career goals, develop a plan, establish a timetable, and monitor your progress. Self-development supports planned, goal-oriented learning to reinforce and expand the depth and breadth of what a person knows to include themselves and situations they experience and how they perform their duties. The Army acknowledges three self-development types. Structured self-development includes mandatory learning modules required to meet specific learning objectives and requirements. Guided self-development is optional recommended learning to enhance professional competence. Personal self-development is self-initiated learning to meet personal objectives, such as pursuing a college education or an advanced degree. The self-development process has four major phases: strengths and developmental needs determination, goal setting, self-enhanced learning, learning in action. Strengths and developmental needs determination. The first step in determining strengths and developmental needs is to think about what you do and how well you do it. At a minimum, this information comes from self-examination. Examining personal strengths and developmental needs is a skill improved over time. Feedback can come from formal or informal assessments and from other leaders, peers, or subordinates. Outside opinions and information on strengths and developmental needs are useful. However, admitting and accepting discovered developmental needs requires a leader to be open to accepting feedback and self-aware, which streamlines the self-development process. Keep this in mind during a self-examination. Understanding current strengths and developmental needs is necessary before setting self-development goals. This requires leaders to be self-aware about their leadership behaviors. These methods help identify strengths and developmental needs. Formal assessments, feedback gathering, situation and self-analysis, strengths and developmental needs identification. Formal assessments. Formal assessments, such as evaluations and tests, are a good place to start gaining insight into strengths and developmental needs, since they measure individual performance and compare it to a standard. Individuals use the information and results from relevant assessments to develop their full potential by understanding personal strengths and developmental needs. Formal assessments also allow the Army to understand the effectiveness of its leader development programs and improve processes through refinement. Assessments can take many forms and provide insight on a diverse range of factors, including academic grades from Army courses, practical exercise results, self-reflection on duty performance, developmental counseling, official performance appraisals, multi-source assessments, tests, or dispositional inventories. Some of the more common assessments used by the Army are multi-source assessments. Allow subordinates, peers, and superiors to anonymously assess the leader using a standard set of items. Army developmental assessments, such as the Leader 180, Leader 360, or Commander 360, provide 360-degree assessments of leaders measuring the Army leadership competencies. The Army uses the Unit 360 to compile individual-level multi-source assessments to give unit leaders a holistic understanding of their unit's leadership capabilities. Army Administrative or Talent Management Assessments, such as the Army Commander Evaluation Tool, Army Leader Assessment Tool, or the Enlisted Leader Assessment Tool. Intelligence and Aptitude Tests, such as the Armed Services Vocational Aptitude Battery or Defense Language Aptitude Battery. Personality or Dispositional Inventories, such as the Social Skills Inventory, Social Awareness and Influence Assessment, Self-Awareness Individual Differences Inventory, or Individual Adaptability Measure. Interviews. Simulations or exercises assessed by trained observers or behavioral scientists. Performance evaluations. Counseling sessions, formal and informal. Skills tests, such as the Expert Field Medical Badge, Expert Soldier Badge, or Expert Infantryman Badge tests. Tests administered in resident and non-resident schools. Standardized assessments proctored during resident schools. Field performance evaluations, such as those at the combat training centers. Occupational interest inventories. Individuals differ in their abilities, and assessing their knowledge, skills, attitudes, traits, or potential can be useful for development and talent management. Depending on the purpose, assessments have different conditions for administration, use, validation requirements, and access to results. See AR-600-100. Developmental leader assessments provide individual feedback to enhance performance for current positions or to develop personnel to assume future positions of greater authority and responsibility. Results from developmental assessments are confidential and owned by the individual leader. Talent management assessments support decisions about selection, promotion, placement, or assignment. When used appropriately, valid assessments can increase the accuracy of personnel decisions. The Army owns the results of these assessments, and the individual may or may not have access to the results. Assessments used for talent management purposes must satisfy higher legal and professional standards with respect to validity, construct, content, and criterion, fairness, and reliability than developmental assessments. Assessments are not a solution, but rather the first step in the long process of development. Assessments provide individuals and units insight to help drive growth, better leverage strengths, and address gaps or weaknesses. Assessments are useless without developmental action. Reviewing formal assessments without experience can be problematic. Understanding how to combine multiple formal perspectives on performance to get a complete picture may challenge junior leaders. Reading and interpreting evaluations and testing results is a learned skill. Performance evaluations provide a narrow view of a person's overall leadership performance and potential, focusing on specific events pertinent to the rating period. The language can also be misleading, avoiding subtle developmental needs in favor of condensed feedback for an external audience, such as promotion, selection, and retention boards. Performance evaluations, aptitude tests, and counseling sessions can provide skewed inputs if not taken in context of a larger set of feedback results. Piecing together a performance pattern requires aligning evaluations and tests from multiple sources, accounting for situational context to see patterns, and making assumptions about strengths and developmental needs. Accepting and acting on feedback from assessments also requires a growth mindset to continually develop and reinforces the Army's readiness. Feedback gathering. Hearing what peers, subordinates, superiors, mentors, family, and friends think can help identify unnoticed or reluctantly acknowledged strengths and developmental needs. Leaders get feedback by observing how they interact with others or asking directly. Supervisors have an explicit role in subordinate development. Subordinates should consult supervisors for guidance about development goals or any other self-development aspect. Insight. Observe others. Observing how others act toward you and the decisions they make affecting you, give an idea of what they think about your skills and expertise. Observing the same person on different occasions helps you see trends that may signal a firmly held opinion. One observation is not reliable, as that behavior may have been a result of other issues. Consider the circumstances. What outside factors influenced their decisions and actions? For example, if your supervisor selected someone else to perform an important task, was it because you were too busy or unavailable? After considering these questions, analyze the answers to determine the opinions that each person considered may have of your strengths and developmental needs. Supervisors, raters, and superiors. Who gets the most challenging assignments? Whom does the supervisor rely upon during emergencies or tough problems? Whom does the supervisor praise the most? What tasks does your supervisor assign to you versus others? How does your supervisor react to your suggestions compared to others' suggestions? Does your supervisor listen to your opinions on certain subjects much more or much less than others' opinions? If so, what are those subjects? Peers and subordinates. Do peers and subordinates come to you for help or advice? On what topics? Do they understand you or seem confused or overwhelmed by what you say? Do they repeatedly ask for help or are they one-time interactions? Does their interest and enthusiasm increase or diminish when they interact with you? What does their body language communicate? Is it relaxed, apprehensive, or reserved? Asking for feedback. One learns a lot about others' perceptions through observation, but conclusions are only educated guesses unless you ask others directly. To gain perspective, talk to others who know you in different ways, such as raider, enlisted, or officer counterpart, mentor, instructor, or family member. The goal is to find out what they saw and their impressions of your action or actions. That person's impression of how well you performed during the interaction or interactions. How you react in certain situations. For example, when a subordinate challenges your authority in front of others, you seem to get flustered and be at a loss for words. Who to ask? These are items to consider when determining who to ask for feedback. Who has been able to observe you enough to offer useful information? Who has observed you from different perspectives? Who has experience in an interest area, former or current supervisor, mentor, or teacher? Things to remember when asking for feedback. When asking for feedback, keep the following in mind. Respect others' time. Prepare questions in advance. Approach with an open mind to accept uncomfortable or critical feedback without offense. Listen carefully and respectfully. Ask for clarification and examples when points are unclear. Summarize the points to ensure you understand them correctly. Request permission to read points back to the feedback providers for confirmation. Thank the feedback providers for their time and assistance. These ideas may help you focus on what to ask. Get descriptions and opinions of your behaviors. For feedback about a recurring issue, ask about the situation, your actions, and the usual outcomes. Ask for suggestions for other ways to handle situations. Look for common themes by comparing the received feedback to identify strengths and developmental needs. Army leaders must avoid the natural inclination to reject or minimize responses that do not confirm self-perceptions or attribute them to a situation instead. Situation and self-analysis. After gathering information from assessments, observations, and feedback, reflect on personal behavior and performance. Examining personal situations and experiences can reveal areas to change or improve. The situation analysis exercise helps analyze experiences to identify personal strengths and developmental needs. Determining what feedback is crucial to self-development can be challenging for junior leaders who may receive more feedback than they can realistically process for analysis and development. A trusted mentor or leader can assist learning how to assess and develop. Insight. Situation analysis for self-development. Use these questions to reflect and analyze experiences for insight into personal strengths and developmental needs. What was the situation? What happened? Who was there? What were you trying to accomplish? What needed resources or skills did you have or not have? What did you say or think? Were you able to express your point? What made you feel good, confident, excited, or bad, confused, worried? What did you do? How did you act, including body language? Why did you make those choices? Did you help or hurt the situation? How did others react? Did you adjust your actions based on others' reactions? Why did you act that way? What knowledge and skills led you to act that way? What could have helped you handle the situation better? Could you have used your strengths for a better outcome? Do you need to prioritize any developmental needs? After recording the information, look for key factors that influence the situation and overall outcome. If the same factor occurs in multiple situations, it may suggest a significant strength or developmental need to develop. By knowing how personal actions and the associated thoughts and feelings affected the situation, leaders can become more self-aware and choose the most productive actions. Additionally, a self-analysis may suggest broader interests to pursue or issues to avoid. Insight: complete a self-analysis. Consider these prompts while being as specific as possible to identify unique personal strengths and developmental needs. Strengths: the skill or ability at which I am best is, the personal quality that I rely on most for my success is, I am most knowledgeable about, the activities I look forward to include, I would love to learn more about, I am most proud of this accomplishment. Developmental needs: the skill or ability that is always difficult for me is, the knowledge or skill I require to be a better leader is, I do not know as much as I should about, I usually go to others for help on, the situation that causes me the most frustration is, I am most hesitant when I try to, I am most concerned about my, competencies required for my current or future role are, strengths and developmental needs identification. The final step is to analyze the information gathered from formal assessments, information gathered from observing others, asking others, and situation and self-analysis results to determine strengths and developmental needs. Weight feedback based on its frequency. Look for recurring feedback themes or patterns heard from more than one person. Look at what others identified as strengths and developmental needs and compare that to personal knowledge from the self-exam and formal assessment results. Usually, repeated success or expertise in a particular activity indicates a strength. These abilities may come easily, even though others find them difficult. What are favorite things to do or learn about? What do others turn to you for help with? What do recent assignments show as strengths? Developmental needs are often tasks that are a struggle to learn or difficult to perform. What was hard or not fun to do? What knowledge, skills, and behaviors are required from a position description? Did formal assessments indicate any deficiencies? Identify where these descriptions apply and develop strengths and developmental needs lists. These lists enable setting clear goals for self-development efforts and can be documented on an IDP. Goal setting. To maximize self-development efforts and avoid wasting time and energy, it is crucial to set self-development goals. Identify personal and professional capabilities to improve, and decide what to do. Creating an IDP documents and allows tracking of these goals. This section outlines procedures to create and maintain an IDP, identify self-development opportunities, plan milestones to keep on track. Individual development plans. IDPs span across the institutional, operational, and self-development leader development domains and apply throughout a career. They provide a framework to identify and document a person's holistic strengths and developmental needs to guide self-development. In addition to strengths and needs, leaders are encouraged to consider their physical fitness goals, their cognitive abilities to include critical thinking skills, communication skills, and technical and tactical knowledge, and their leadership skills with a focus on their self-awareness and ability to employ the competencies. Once a leader has gathered feedback, completed a self-analysis, and identified personal strengths and developmental weaknesses, they are ready to document goals and a plan to address those goals using an IDP. IDPs take leaders from where they are to where they want to be by incorporating short and long-term goals, along with action plans to address those goals. All individuals are responsible for developing and maintaining their IDP, as goals will change over time. Listeners are encouraged to refer to Chapter 3 of the print version of FM 6-22 for examples of completed IDPs. These IDPs for military and civilian members address short and long-term goals, strengths, needs, and career planning. Self-development opportunity identification. Understanding strengths and developmental needs determines where to focus self-development efforts. In addition to leadership assessments feedback, roles and responsibilities, personal and work-related, and Army needs can provide self-development opportunities. Roles and responsibilities. Work and non-work roles have different responsibilities, skill and knowledge requirements, and expectations. Reserve component leaders have a unique opportunity to improve both civilian and military skills by linking self-development goals to skills shared by both professions. Chosen roles usually reflect personal interests and values, but even assigned roles affect the value of different self-development paths. When roles and responsibilities align with talents and interests, leaders are likely to succeed and be satisfied. Insight. Analyze roles and responsibilities. List 3 to 4 important work and non-work roles. Next to each role, list the 2 most important responsibilities in that role. Identify knowledge, skills, or behaviors that enable better performance of these roles and responsibilities. Army needs. Another way to identify satisfying goals for self-development efforts is to align personal interests with Army needs. Soldiers and Army units must be ready to deploy and accomplish diverse missions. Some requirements may be unforeseen and untrained, requiring soldiers to use their knowledge, skills, and creativity to accomplish missions. As members develop expertise, the unit and the Army become stronger. The expertise range and depth provide unit resiliency and an increased ability to adapt to specific challenges. Insight. General Stilwell's commitment to self-development. Early in his career, General Joseph Stilwell found he had a gift for languages and sought opportunities to develop this ability. Before World War I, he traveled extensively on leave through Latin America and Asia, perfecting his Spanish and learning Japanese and Chinese. His unique proficiency earned him an assignment as the United States Army's first language officer in China in 1919. In 1921, he volunteered to oversee an International Red Cross rural road building project to interact directly with Chinese officials and laborers to hone his language skills. After a year, Stilwell was conversant in a notoriously difficult language and familiar with a culture alien to most Westerners. Stilwell spent most of the next 20 years becoming one of the United States government's most trusted China experts. In 1926, he commanded a United States Army battalion near Beijing. In 1935, he became the American military attaché in China. After the attack on Pearl Harbor, United States Army Chief of Staff Marshall appointed Stilwell commander of the China-Burma-India Theater and Chief of Staff to Chiang Kai-shek, the leader of Chinese forces fighting the Japanese. Between 1942 and 1944, Stilwell deftly used his knowledge of Chinese language and culture to build rapport with Chiang Kai-shek, ensuring Chinese nationalist forces remained a partner against the Japanese. Milestone planning. After establishing self-development goals, create milestones to get started and gauge progress. Use an IDP to document goals and milestones. Milestones can mix short-term and long-term, whatever personally works and encourages progress. Milestones should be specific and measurable. They state what to accomplish so you know if the milestone is met. Be meaningful and relevant. They should help achieve self-development goals. Provide a challenge. Milestones should stretch personal abilities and be challenging to accomplish. Challenging milestones increase motivation. Being too easy or hard can hurt motivation. Have a time limit. Time limits provide motivation and gauge success. Be flexible. Build in some flexibility to overcome obstacles or revise milestones if necessary. Be realistic. Ensure milestones are reachable with available resources. For example, if a deployment occurs in the next 12 months, do not set a milestone requiring college attendance during that time. Keep in mind that unforeseen obstacles may occur along the way. Be cost-effective. The benefits gained must be worth the effort, resources, risk, and other costs to reach the milestone. Every milestone requires at least minimal planning. After setting the first milestone, create a plan to achieve it. A plan increases success by identifying all required actions, identifying the resources needed to meet the milestones, establishing time estimates and deadlines that help track progress, dividing large tasks into smaller parts to reduce being overwhelmed, identifying possible obstacles and the actions and resources needed to overcome them, maximizing personal time and other resources. Insight, plan to meet milestones. Develop a plan by listing the first milestone. Identify the main steps needed to reach it, along with associated timelines. Consider all the developmental resources the Army has to offer, as well as other sources to reach each milestone. Identify potential enablers and obstacles before beginning to better prepare for difficulties along the way. Collaborating through online forums and interest groups may help personal development and provide encouragement. Self-enhanced learning. Self-development requires learning. Knowing how to learn is the most important skill required for self-development. Self-understanding, setting self-development goals, and planning milestones all influence a personal ability to learn. Effective learning requires motivation and persistence, learning opportunities, effective learning methods, deep processing, learning through focused reading and analysis, motivation and persistence. Self-development may require hard work over a long period, especially if the goal is to become an expert in an area or undergo significant personal growth. It takes motivation and effort to keep self-development efforts alive. Genuine motivation provides lasting energy because it internalizes the goals and the desire to achieve them. Learning opportunities. Learning stems from deliberate planned activities or unplanned experiences. Maximize each learning opportunity, whether planned or not. Leaders embed planned learning into routine duties with typical events or a separate scheduled activity as learning opportunities. Take advantage of unexpected opportunities, such as cancellations or transportation delays, by having appropriate learning materials available. Unplanned learning happens when something unexpectedly captures your attention. Attune your mind to draw attention to information related to self-development aims by thinking about developmental aims in detail, what you are trying to accomplish, and why you want to accomplish them. Review what you know and what you need to learn. Review key ideas related to the subject, as well as who the experts are. Insight, personal AAR. Personal AARs are in-depth assessments of how your leadership contributes to task and unit performance. Leaders should conduct personal AARs by asking themselves, what happened and what were the consequences? How are my leader actions supposed to influence the situation? What were the direct results or consequences of my leader actions? How did my actions benefit or hinder mission accomplishment? How should I change my leader actions for better results next time? What did I learn? Unit AARs clarify what happened and accurately assess mission accomplishment. Encourage personal AARs following the unit AAR process by walking less experienced leaders through a personal AAR, asking individuals what they learned from their personal AARs, sharing personal AAR outcomes with subordinates. Effective learning methods. The purpose of each learning activity determines the learning principles to use to maximize learning. No matter the purpose, general learning principles apply. Employ all your senses. Memory stores information according to the senses, how it looks, sounds, feels, tastes, or smells. More senses used while learning enable better memory and information recall. Involve multiple senses by taking notes, highlighting, reciting, and observing. Space out learning sessions. Do not try to learn a large amount of information or a complex skill in one long session. Break the material into several manageable sections. Study the information or practice the skill on multiple occasions. Know the time you learn best and study the most difficult material during that time. Design learning activities so that they mimic reality as much as possible. If the expected conditions to use the information cannot be duplicated, imagine the conditions as vividly as possible. Familiarize information through self-study before formal instruction. Reinforce learning by reviewing the information after instruction. Review exercises memory skills. When learning an entirely new field, go slow at first to ensure thorough understanding of the basics. It is important to have a solid foundation to build on. Learn in layers. Start with what you know to determine the first level of understanding, information, or skill needed. Learn that level, then determine what the information just learned suggests learning next. Each level builds on the previous and usually becomes increasingly detailed and interconnected. Learn like a scientist. Scientists adopt the attitude that the best knowledge is subject to change and that new discoveries may prove old beliefs or assumptions wrong. Start the inquiry with a problem or question. Find evidence that answers the question and test possible explanations to gather evidence. It is important to discover information that questions or refutes the possible explanations to avoid confirmation bias. Analyze the evidence and develop an explanation. While the general learning principles apply to all learning types, some learning principles apply based on whether the learning activity focuses on learning a new skill, a new behavior, or new knowledge. Learning or improving a skill requires repeated, deliberate practice. Deliberate practice is not just skill repetition. Deliberate practice involves making your best attempt at performing the skill, analyzing the attempt results, sometimes with coach or instructor help, to identify ways to improve personal performance, attempting the skill again using the identified improvements. Learning a new behavior about something requires repeated exposure to and testing of the behavior. Taking on a new behavior might involve realizing that a prior viewpoint is counterproductive to obtaining goals. Changing behavior is done one of two ways. Behave as if you have already adopted the new behavior. If done often with positive results, it is likely that you will adopt the behavior. Observe another person behaving in a way that reflects the behavior. If you respect this person as a role model and see them gaining some benefit from the behavior, you may eventually come to personally accept and adopt the behavior. Learning new knowledge requires linking the new information to already known information. This occurs by deeply processing the information you want to learn. The following section details deep processing and the related critical and reflective thinking skills. Deep processing. The ability to learn and recall information depends upon what someone does with the information while learning it. Deep processing requires analyzing the new information, picking it apart, using it, and connecting it to already known information. Many ways exist to practice deep processing. Relate the new information to something already known. Accept that there may be a difference between new and previously known information. Summarize the material you are learning in your words or diagram it visually. Organize new information into categories. Ask and answer questions to make new facts, ideas, and principles useful and important. How does this relate to prior knowledge? What does this imply? What other examples do I remember? Why is this important to me or others? Where else could this apply? Where or how could this be used? Develop comparisons. What does the new information remind you of? Explain or teach the material to someone else to test your understanding and mastery. Check multiple sources to gain complete, objective information. Argue both sides of an issue for understanding to avoid an echo chamber. Using critical, creative, and reflective thinking skills are essential to being an effective learner and gaining subject expertise. These skills are essential practices to deeply processing information. Several thinking types facilitate Army leader development and skills. Critical thinking, creative thinking, reflective thinking, strategic thinking. Critical thinking. Critical thinking skills facilitate learning assessment and problem solving. Critical thinking questions what you see, hear, read, or experience. Critical thinking ensures the person is engaged in the learning process, critically considering the information or skills practice. Critical thinking requires analysis, comparisons, contrasting ideas, making inferences and predictions, evaluating the strength of evidence, and drawing conclusions. It requires the self-discipline to use reason and avoid impulsive conclusions. Developing critical thinking skills requires practice. See ATP 5-0.1 for information on critical thinking processes. These questions guide critical thinking. Who or what is the idea source? What is the evidence for and against this conclusion? What are alternative or competing theories, explanations, or perspectives? Why is this important? What are the implications? Is the argument logic or reasoning sound? Do the numbers, quantities, and calculations make sense? Do the supporting facts agree with other sources? Why or how does this work? How likely is this? Creative thinking. Creative thinking involves examining problems from a fresh perspective to develop innovative solutions. Creative thinking occurs by consciously generating new ideas and reevaluating or combining old ideas to solve a problem. Creativity is a willingness to accept change and apply a flexible outlook for multiple perspectives, new ideas, and possibilities. Identifying hidden assumptions is useful for developing greater creativity and insight. Producing reasons against a preferred conclusion or option instead of favoring that conclusion or option improves thorough reasoning and identifies possible contingencies. Imagine what causes a speculative conclusion to be incorrect. Considering ways something would not be true allows determining other possible situational aspects and ways to shape the outcome to avoid those undesired states. Finding hidden assumptions or imagining failure are similar techniques that protect against groupthink and hasty agreement with conventional wisdom. Think about what could cause failure. Those causes are likely assumptions that were not evident. Identifying hidden assumptions can mitigate the risk of an incorrect assessment. Reflective thinking. Closely related to critical thinking, reflective thinking seeks to build understanding, interpret experiences, and resolve questions. Reflective thinking requires thinking through the gathered information in detail to organize it, apply principles, make connections, and form conclusions. Critical, creative, and reflective thinking development. Critical and creative thinking come together as practical thinking that captures the strengths of how people approach everyday problems. Critical thinking brings out differences that are not normally obvious. Creative thinking techniques help generate new insights. Both thinking types fill in knowledge gaps and resolve uncertainty. Practical thinking signs include a willingness to try alternate approaches to thinking, being open to others' positions, being prepared to think about issues instead of ignoring or dismissing them, and asking insightful questions. Leaders must develop critical and creative thinking in team members. The ability and capacity for intellectual and critical thought are essential to effective problem solving. Subordinates' actions based on their critical thinking skills often dictate team success. An excellent way to develop critical thinking in an organization is through example, by being a critical thinker. Thinking critically and setting conditions that encourage others to think critically effectively enhance the process. How people think and feel about learning affects their thinking and judgment development. For example, an attitude that thinking can resolve problems leads to better results in overcoming difficulties through thinking. Attitudes that conflict with sound thinking should be diminished, such as changing one's mind is a sign of weakness, being open and deliberating among options leads to confusion. Quick decision-making is how one demonstrates expertise or truth comes from authority. Positive attitudes that contribute to developing critical and creative thinking include persistence. If one line of thought or action is not working, then finding another line may work. Willingness to expend effort. A willingness to engage in deeper, more thorough thinking is important for critical thinking, even when the effort may not initially seem useful. Active fair-mindedness. Making special effort to find out whether one's ideas will work by imagining what is wrong with them is a good way to be fair-minded. Using the same standards, regardless of the issue or who supports a position, is another fair-mindedness quality. Ego detachment. Keeping reasoning separate from self-esteem helps guard against being caught up in being on the right side of an argument or rationalizing why failure was out of one's control. Uncertainty tolerance. Believing it is fine not to know something is a positive characteristic. Yet, motivation to resolve uncertainty, once recognized, is even more important. Thinking through problems instead of using minimal cues to interpret a situation incorrectly is an advantage. Openness. Being open to different and multiple possibilities leads to better decisions. Commitment retraction. Willing to change beliefs about a preferred solution or a problem viewpoint is an attitude that has positive effects. Process flexibility. Realize that standard processes will not work for novel, ill-defined, or complex problems. Adapting or discovering a new way to think may help reach a solution. Willingness to learn. It is natural for leaders to feel an expectation to have the knowledge and experience to perform well. Being willing to engage in learning is adaptive. One expert characteristic is that they understand what they know and what they need to learn. Thinking ahead and predicting potential ways that a situation assessment may be wrong or that a course of action could depart from the anticipated plan prepares leaders to handle the unknown. Having identified and worked through various contingencies better prepares the team for what could occur. Strategic thinking. Strategic thinking is an imperative for military leaders to shape the future of operations and to steward available resources. Strategic thinking is valuable at all leadership levels. It is important to consider the overall situation and make decisions that set the stage for plans lasting years. Strategic thinking generates a cohesive understanding of situational dynamics, presenting advantageous options and long-term organizational success. Thinking skills and activities directed at outcomes that produce an overarching approach or plan to achieve a particular aim characterize strategic thinking. In this case, strategic describes the thinking type rather than the doctrinal usage to describe a level of war, security objectives, or ideas to employ the instruments of national power. In contrast to thinking following traditional problem-solving steps, strategic thinking is not looking to solve a bounded problem, but is creating a decision set or pattern to achieve future success. While a tactic specifically prescribes how something is done, a strategy is a philosophy of what is valued and consists of guidelines or boundaries to shape what actions to take. Clearly, strategic thinking is an important skill for senior leaders to establish high-level goals and broadly scoped policies. However, strategic thinking is important for junior-level leaders when they address recurring problems and consider enduring, robust solutions. The earlier leaders are exposed to strategic thinking, the more likely they will try it, apply it, and, over time, improve. Strategic thinking can be broken down into several activities. Situational understanding. Scanning for recurring, novel, and key cues integrated and used in sense-making, predicting, and testing what exists enable understanding. Visualization is a related activity to fill in knowledge gaps about existing or future considerations. Subskills include discriminating among relevant cues, integrating diverse information, applying mental wargaming, and modeling. Questioning. Asking questions demonstrates an openness to different perspectives and a desire to consider alternate or unconventional assessments. Questioning, a key component of thinking critically, improves the thoroughness of judgment. Consistently demonstrating a willingness to shift perspective, search for alternate explanations, and avoid mindsets and fixations characterize cognitive flexibility. Systems thinking. Systems thinking involves considering the factors of a situation or a solution as an interrelated system with inputs, processes, outputs, and feedback. A systems orientation operates from a view that an understanding or model can be created to explain or improve what occurs, as applies to situational understanding, or what could occur, as applies to problem solving. See Army Design Methodology Doctrine for more about systems thinking. Analogical reasoning. Thinking that deals with complex problems with unfamiliar or unknown conditions and outcomes occurs by drawing on current knowledge. Analogical reasoning is a specific approach where known or similar concepts and relationships map to what is yet not understood. Historical comparisons are useful in strategic thinking to consider what has occurred under one known condition set. Self-awareness. Since strategic thinking involves unknowns, multiple paths, trials of what might exist in a situation, and possible solution results, an ability to manage personal thought processes is important. Metacognition is being aware of what oneself is thinking, what one knows, progress toward a conclusion, and testing strategic approaches and conclusions about them. Developing strategic thinking occurs by addressing complex, dynamic challenges while practicing critical and creative thinking, working in context, and gaining basic skills in situational understanding and visualization. Leaders or instructors can accelerate subordinates' thinking development by assigning projects or duties with opportunities for strategic thinking. Professional military education courses reinforce strategic thinking by assigning projects requiring skills application and grading how well a student employs them. Ambiguous or unfamiliar situations. Deliberate effort applied to thinking is a way to provide best guesses about ambiguity, uncertain situations, uncertain actions by an adversary, and uncertain outcomes. One way to prepare is to have a standard question set to ask when faced with uncertainty. Developing a practice of asking questions prompts additional reasoning. It is natural to discount information when it does not fit expectations. Some refer to this as confirmation bias, but that reference implies a conscious or active process when it usually is not. It is difficult to undo someone's assessment or conclusion once it forms. The first step to protect against discounting unexpected signals is to pay attention to information that does not fit expectations. Assessing the information can indicate whether an understanding needs to change. If no definite determination is possible, even heightened vigilance for change should occur. The dominant structuring technique is a useful way to problem solve to ensure the best available solution is considered and chosen. Leaders can use the dominant structuring technique in a formal military decision-making process. It is a way of thinking to iterate through course of action development, analysis, comparison, and wargaming. The technique adapts to time available and known details. Insight, dominant structuring technique. First, consider the relevant problem dimensions. Look for the solution that dominates all other possible solutions on the most important dimensions. Identify the initial, most promising alternative solution by eliminating alternative solutions that are unattractive on important dimensions. Choose an alternative if it is better than all others on at least one dimension and equal to other options on other dimensions. This will be the dominant solution. If the most promising alternative does not initially dominate all other alternatives, then reconsider advantages and disadvantages. If necessary, and when possible, modify the most promising alternative until it dominates other alternatives. This will be the dominant solution. If no dominant solution appears, reconsider the most important problem dimensions to repeat the dominance comparisons among alternatives. Learning through focused content analysis. Books, journal articles, lecture series, podcasts, documentaries, movies, professional panel discussions may be key learning resources for self-development. To maximize learning, approach consuming content for learning differently than casual content consumption. Deep processing is essential to the ability to understand, recall, and use the learned information. Even though a book or professional lecture may present information in a logical way, the learner must take an active role to understand the information. The Survey Question Read Recite Review method uses deep processing principles to focus content analysis. Developed over 70 years ago, these activities comprise a most widely recommended and effective way to learn from written materials. This same method can also extend to other materials, such as analyzing a professional lecture series or documentary. Survey. Scan the chapter, article, lecture notes, video comments, or other material to build a mental material framework or outline and establish a purpose for consuming it. This mental framework will help understanding the material's purpose, set expectations to draw attention to important information, activate memory of what is already known, and develop a skeleton of understanding. Survey the material by predicting discussion topics. Complete accuracy is not necessary, but it helps active understanding of the material. Noting the title, topic sequence, and their relationships. Looking at graphs, charts, diagrams, and pictures, and read their captions. Reading and verifying quotations, vignettes, and other short statements. Scanning footnotes, references used, and presenter history and credentials to sense where ideas come from or what they mean. Noting emphasized words and phrases. Reading the introduction, abstract, and summary if available. Reviewing other aids that the material may have, such as study guides, advanced organizers, chapter outlines, learning objectives, or review questions. Deciding what to learn from the material. Question. While surveying the material, list questions you want to answer while consuming the material. Developing questions to guide your study increases interest in the material, alerts you to important information, helps you stay involved with the material, and relates the new knowledge to what you already know. To develop questions, turn the title or headings into questions. For example, if a heading is the four-step calibration process, a question may be, what are the four calibration process steps? Ask questions about graphs, charts, diagrams, and pictures. For example, a graph showing an increasing rate of traffic fatalities in the United States could lead to the question, why have traffic fatalities increased in the United States? Consider questions that the author or presenter includes, such as in call-out boxes or review questions. Rephrase these questions so that they are meaningful and easier to remember. Read, view, or listen. Consume the material one section at a time. Engage several senses by reading, listening, watching, or taking notes. These tips aid understanding, retain interest, and retain information. Look for the answers to your questions and write them in your words. Look for additional questions to answer and important information that you had not anticipated. Use deep processing to relate the new information to things you already know. Note important information, especially information that answers questions you wrote. Make diagrams that show how a process works, timelines, event sequences, or the relationships that exist between different components. Respond to points by noting ideas in the margins, a separate notebook, or device. This personalizes the information and relates it to information already known. For example, notes may highlight disagreements, how a stated idea relates to another idea learned elsewhere, gaps or questions that remain in the information, or information implications. Look for connections, discrepancies, comparisons, and relationships between information presented in the document and other readings, lectures, or personal experiences. Recite. Reciting tests knowledge and information understanding. Self-testing is a method of deep processing to enhance memory. Reciting helps minimize knowledge gaps. Stop reading or listening at the end of each section and summarize the material from memory. Ask the questions you previously wrote for that section. Explain charts, graphs, diagrams without referring to personal notes. Review the section until you can recite its important information and concepts. Review. Reviewing helps refresh and strengthen memory and material mastery. Review the material immediately. Review again in 24 hours and again several days later. Review your written questions and see if you can answer them. Study the material to answer any missed questions. Explain how all the sections fit together. What are the overarching points and principles? Explain how the information in this document relates to self-development goals. Interaction with a friend or coworker who has studied the same information can help maintain focus, provide different perspectives on the material, and clarify difficult or misunderstood points. Reflective journaling. Journaling may track and record the occurrence, actions, and outcomes of various situations. Reflective journaling goes beyond a personal AAR to include periodic entries on self-awareness of personal strengths, developmental needs, values, feelings and perceptions, and questions and ideas about leadership situations. A leader may track personal successes and lessons learned by dedicating time to recording their experiences in leading others, chosen actions, resulting outcomes, and any insights. The journal may serve as a reference to pass along lessons learned to others. Key leader references may be recorded. Sample reflective journaling questions include, what is the best thing that happened today or this week? What is my most difficult or satisfying work? Why? What do I think is my most valuable or valued contribution? What compliments and criticisms have I received lately? What did I learn from them? What did I learn due to a recent disappointment or failure? How do recent experiences connect to my long-term goals? What risks have I taken or avoided taking lately? Individual leaders should decide whether to share their journal content with their immediate leader or others. Leaders can reinforce reflective journaling by carrying a journal and being seen writing, citing lessons learned while referring to journal entries, providing time for a leader to reflect and write down personal lessons learned, providing leaders with a journal and a personal note, encouraging them to use it, asking leaders to write or recount a story of a key leader, challenge and use the stories to pass on lessons learned to less experienced leaders. Cooperative methods of online journaling, sharing online blogs, or cooperating in message boards can help source novel ideas and solutions from a community of like-minded individuals that a leader might not normally interact with on a daily basis. Sharing ideas, questions, and solutions in an online forum, social media platform, message board, or professional blog enables a wider audience to interact and share thoughts, offering an external viewpoint or insight. The same reflective journaling questions still apply, but this enables a much more visible and accessible presence to reinforce the importance of reflective journaling. Learning in action. Self-development takes time and effort. Putting a plan into action requires patience and resilience. Anticipating and accepting setbacks as part of the process requires commitment. Acknowledging and accepting that self-development efforts must balance against organization requirements and family obligations is crucial. Having the support of peers, leaders, subordinates, family, and friends throughout a career-long self-development effort can provide motivation through lulls in achieving milestones and goals. To stay on track, let milestones serve as a guide. Overcome self-development obstacles. Work efficiently. Maintain forward momentum. Assess progress. Make course corrections. Set the next milestone. Let milestones guide. Use the milestones technique previously discussed and developed in this chapter as a guide to avoid impulsive actions that may be ineffective and discouraging. Keep the big picture in mind. Work effectively toward self-development goals. Take advantage of resources and overcome obstacles. Measure success. Adjust the plan as needed to reach milestones. Be willing to update the plan to improve it, change goals, address obstacles, take advantage of resources, and reflect upon accomplishments. Overcome self-development obstacles. In developing a milestone plan, you identified obstacles to reaching the first milestone. The possibility of encountering internal and external obstacles, despite thorough preparation, is always present. Internal obstacles. Procrastination, apathy, and pride are major obstacles to self-development and occur for many reasons. Some come to realize their milestones are too ambitious, complex, unclear, or difficult. Others hesitate because of the effort or discomfort the work requires, or lack the motivation to start. It is easy in such situations to allow other work priorities to distract developmental efforts. Poor attitudes interfere with learning and impede understanding and remembering information. For example, thinking math is hard or disliking history can interfere with learning anything related to math or history. Other attitudes, such as closed-mindedness, inflexibility, or rigid adherence to beliefs and assumptions, can interfere with learning. To combat poor attitudes, identify a productive replacement. Practice thinking and behaving with a positive attitude until it feels natural and becomes a habit. A lack of knowledge may be a major obstacle in reaching milestones. Being unaware of the resources, processes, and best practices of others who have worked towards similar goals may hinder progress. Involving others may provide the necessary information and motivation to making progress. External obstacles. External factors, such as workload or other personal or professional obligations, may affect self-development efforts. Seeking support from family and friends enables their involvement and awareness of your milestones and goals, and allows them to provide help and support. Lacking resources is another common roadblock. Resources include anything needed for self-development, including people, such as teachers, coaches, or mentors, facilities, such as schools, libraries, or museums, and things, such as training programs, books, and equipment. Learners best handle external obstacles through careful planning and creativity. Work efficiently. By efficiently managing workload and personal life, one can increase how much time is available to spend on self-development. To increase efficiency, take care of yourself. Proper food, exercise, and rest enable you to function at your best. Manage time and energy efficiently. Keep a running to-do list. Prioritize each task according to its importance, required work, and completion date. Remove low-priority tasks from the list. Look for ways to accomplish daily activities and routines in less time. For example, combine several errands in a single trip instead of making individual trips. Learn to quickly locate and obtain the information needed for self-development and other daily life requirements. Organize work and living areas so that required information, tools, and workspace are available. Maintain forward momentum. It is important to keep the developmental momentum moving forward. There may be a tendency to slow down after completing an important self-development step or be discouraged by setbacks. Resting after a strong effort is natural, but too much rest may make it hard to restart. Maintain momentum by keeping a positive attitude. Let setbacks go and start each day with renewed enthusiasm. Each morning offers an opportunity for a fresh start. Making consistent progress. Accomplish something, however small, related to self-development milestones and goals each day. Recognizing benefits. Benefits are tangible results, such as increased pay, awards, and abilities, or intangible results, such as pride, a sense of accomplishment, and satisfaction. Remember that important benefits often require hard work. Assess progress. Assessing progress can provide encouragement to keep going if things are going well, or to guide changes if they are not. Individuals can assess progress at any time, while working toward a milestone or after completing one. To assess progress, use objective and subjective measures. Objective measures can be seen or expressed in numbers, such as test scores, time required to perform tasks, number of books read, or college credits earned. Subjective measures cannot be easily observed or expressed in numbers, including feelings of satisfaction, accomplishment, personal growth, or difficulty. Subjective progress assessments can come from personal judgment and feedback. Subjective indicators are often sufficient to track most self-development activities. Compare the milestone plan with what happened and adjust the remainder of this milestone plan or future milestones to account for lessons learned. Timeline. Was the timeline met? If well under or over the timeline, determine why. Maybe the timeline was not reasonable. More or less work was anticipated, received extra help, encountered obstacles, or the material was more involved than initially thought. Action steps. How successful were you in accomplishing the steps identified for reaching the milestone? What helped or hurt success? Were the identified steps the right ones? Resources. Were required resources to achieve the milestone correctly identified? Did the plan omit any resources? Were necessary resources available? Are there any other resources that might have worked better? Obstacles. Were identified obstacles encountered? Was the plan to overcome these obstacles successful? Were unexpected obstacles encountered? Decide if you are satisfied with your progress or if the milestones or self-development goals need changes. Indicators to consider in making a course correction include unsatisfactory progress, too much stress or effort required to complete developmental activities, loss of interest in achieving self-development aims or change in the benefits expected from achieving those aims, changes in professional or personal situations that conflict with self-development activities, being dissatisfied with personal development. Make course corrections. Self-development occurs over time in a dynamic environment that includes professional and personal responsibilities. At some point, obstacles or other challenges force a change of plans. If the progress assessment indicates course corrections are needed, determine what correction is warranted. Goal. A self-development goal or milestone may have been too difficult, too easy, or just not what was hoped. Examine other possible self-development goals or milestones. Identify why you selected the unsatisfactory goal or milestone. Avoid repeating any missteps. Action steps. If the actions taken to achieve milestones were ineffective, figure out why and develop effective actions. To be effective, you must be capable and willing to perform the actions with available resources. If a course correction is required due to obstacles, then create new action steps that avoid or solve these obstacles. Action steps should form a logical path from where you currently are to achieve the milestone. Resources. The identified milestone resources may have been inappropriate, inadequate, or unavailable. If so, analyze planned action steps to determine the resources, such as time, money, equipment, facilities, or help needed to perform these steps. Determine if they can be obtained. Set the next milestone. With the first self-development milestone achieved, a full self-development cycle is completed. It is now time to continue the self-development process by setting and pursuing the next milestone.